like to greet all of you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Before I get into my message this morning, just kind of curious, how many of you, probably more of the young ladies, would remember a lady by the name of Mandy Troyer? She attended here occasionally, probably 15 to 20 years ago. Would any of you ladies remember her? Or anybody? Okay, I didn't know if we would or not. I thought maybe there's a few that would. Mandy Troyer met a young fellow down in Texas, my home area. And they got married yesterday. Mandy's husband had a UTV accident and broke his neck. And he passed on. So let's be praying for Mandy and two young children. The road ahead probably doesn't look that great. His name was Caleb Miller. And to add to that, his dad is a mechanic. And I believe it was yesterday morning or the morning before that, he was loading a vehicle and he snapped his ankle. So we have that with all of this. So I ask you to pray for that community there in Texas. They're going through a different week this week. My brother told me this morning, he said, this is going to be a different week. Caleb would be a nephew to a couple of my sister-in-laws. So let's be in prayer for Mandy and her children, if you think about that. I want to share this morning, I've been going through 1 Corinthians, and the last time that I shared out of Corinthians, we were in chapter 8, and we talked about Paul, the Apostle Paul, and about how he was willing to lay down everything so he would not offend somebody. And I believe I had mentioned that we're going to be talking about offense, a very, very difficult subject. But I've titled my message this morning, Overcoming Offense. Ethan, I didn't warn you, but I'd like for you to come up and read a couple of verses for us this morning. I'd like for all of you to stand. I'm only going to ask you to turn to one scripture this morning. If you would turn to Colossians chapter 3, Ethan is going to read verse 12, 13, and 14. And I have it right here if that makes it a little bit easier for you. So if you can, follow along Colossians 3, verse 12, 13, and 14.
Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
Thank you, Ethan. Be seated. I've chosen these verses to keep as a highlight today with the idea that these are words that are spoken to us today. Things that we are to put on, how we are to respond. So my last two messages I talked a lot about love, because that is one of our highest goals. But yet there's something that is higher than that, that gives us that love, and that is seeking out the Father. Getting to know Him. When we know Him, and we understand His love for us, we share that love with others around us. We also talked a little bit about gray areas in our lives. Areas that are not unscriptural, but may be offensive to somebody else, to being careful in those areas. And this is often where offense comes in. We have an area where we feel okay, somebody else doesn't feel okay, and we decide, you know what, they're not going to control me, I'm going to live my life. And we create offense. That's one way. There's a lot of different ways to create offense. I want to read a couple of verses just to kind of get us back to where we were. 1 Corinthians 8:13 says, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. That was the Apostle Paul talking, saying that I will lay everything down for the sake of my brother in Christ. There's a connecting verse in Romans 14:13. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put his stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Another verse out of Romans 14 says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. And I have one more connecting verse. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love doesn't behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So love doesn't seek out for myself. Yes, we have ways that we live, that we grow, that we function. But true love, the agape love, as believers, does for the good of each other. I'm going to share with you a story this morning. I shared this before. How many of you know who Jackie Robinson is? I see some hands. We got some baseball people here. Jackie Robinson was a black man that played baseball on a team where there were no contracts. And they were all, I believe, all black people on that team. He was very good at what he did. Jackie Robinson had somebody show up at his door one day, and it was manager Branch Rickey, who was the manager for the Brooklyn Dodgers, later to become the LA Dodgers. But he was manager for the Brooklyn Dodgers. And he showed up at Robinson's door, and he said, I want you to come play for me. This was something Robinson wanted. Jackie wanted this. But he said, I want you to come play for me. We'll sign a contract, but before we do, there's something you need to know. He said, if you play for us, you're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be belittled. They're going to say negative things about you because of your color. It's not going to be an easy road. Jackie asked him a question. He says, are you looking, and I'm using his words, are you looking for a Negro who is afraid to fight back? Ricky's comment back was, no, I'm looking for one with guts enough not to fight back. I'm looking for somebody who's not going to be offended when that baseball comes at you and tries to take you out at home plate, they tried. I'm looking at you not to be offended when you step out onto the plate and you hear racial slurs being thrown at you from the crowd. Jackie took that challenge, and he played baseball, and he played baseball. Research his history. It's really, really good. Jackie opened up the door for many of his people to be able to do sports and a lot of other things because he chose not to be offended. I'm not sure why I'm here preaching this to you this morning, because I've not been one that has been free of offense. Is there anybody here that has been free of offense all their life? None of us have. We have offended and we've been offended. Jackie Robinson took that challenge. We found in the last probably 5-6 years, many people have talked about offense. We've removed some children's books because they've been offensive. We've changed sports team names because they've been offensive. We've even changed your maple syrup name because it's been offensive. We have racial offenses. We have religious offenses. And it'll only take you probably 2 minutes or less to go to social media, find somebody that's offended. Now we have a platform. Because I've been offended, I'm going to tell everybody that's out there, and it's not long before they have a long thread of offended people. I'm so glad that's just out there. Offense happens in our homes, doesn't it? Quite often, the biggest offenses are with those that we love. Maybe we use the wrong tone. Maybe I said something to my wife with the wrong tone. Maybe she said something to me with the wrong tone. Not planning for it to be offensive, but it happens. Maybe somebody spoke truth, but the timing wasn't quite right. Maybe I shared a personal like or dislike. And you know how I personally like it. So I've taken offense. Maybe the choices that you made are not within my personal parameters. So again, there's going to be offense. Maybe there's some changes that need to be made. I don't like change. There's going to be offense. And when I agree to offense, all of a sudden my worldview becomes dark. Everything around me just looks negative. My actions change. My attitude changes. My response to those I love changes. And what happens is I open a door to a self-made prison. I step inside and I pull that door shut. And there I am, living with offense. So there is a real test that happens. And that's loving whoever has offended me, or showing love to another who's been offended. That's a test. Luke 17, Jesus was talking to the disciples here. And he told them, he said, it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. And he was talking about children. He was also talking about those young in the faith. And he was telling them, you do not offend. He actually was so strong, he said, if you offend, it would be better if there was a millstone tied around your neck and they dropped you into the sea. That's how strong Jesus says we need to stay away from offenses. So offenses are going to happen. Jesus said they'll happen. It's impossible that they don't. We are in our human bodies today. We have been given new hearts, spiritually speaking. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We want to work in unity as a body. But the fact is, yeah, sometimes offenses do happen. The word offense, and by the way, I'm going to show you a book. How many of you read this book, the book of The Bait of Satan? We've got a few. I'd like for you to fight to get this out of the library. This is an amazing book that will change how you think. I'm going to take it back home with me. I did get it out of the library. There's a DVD series here that goes with this. But I'm going to bring it back, and I highly challenge you, take this book and the DVD series out of the library, take it home, listen to it, read it, pay attention to it. It will change how you think about offense. Offense is a movable stick or trigger of a trap. And I get this out of this book. This is how John Bevere explains it. And he has researched this in a very, very deep way. It's a trap or it's a snare. It may be something that I put in the path of others, or they may put in my path intentionally. Sometimes offenses happen unintentionally, but sometimes they do happen intentionally because we would like to be top dog. We don't like to be put in our place. I'm just speaking from where I'm at. One thing we need to remember, that Satan is the father of lies. Neil, I have something to say to you this morning. You go fishing. What do you put on that hook? Makes it look pretty good. What happens to that fish? He gets deceived and you got a fish. That's a good thing. I love fishing. Satan, sorry Neil, I am not referring to you as Satan here this morning. Wow, I should have thought that one through. Satan will take something that looks really good and enticing, and he will place it on that plate of that trap. Carl, you've done trapping. He will place it on the plate of that trap, and it really looks good. But what happens when something, an animal or something comes, or a fish comes and gets that hook? What looks good will actually do us a lot of harm. Taking this bait brings us into captivity. We just talked about that. That fish is going to end up in Neil's boat. That fox is going to end up in Carl's trap because they took the bait. I want to talk about Cain and Abel for just a little bit here. So we have the story of Cain and Abel. Adam and Eve's two children, the first two children. Cain was a farmer. He raised crops. Abel was one who raised grain and fruit. I'm not sure what all he raised, but more that type of a thing. And over time, they were to offer a sacrifice. So they have their little altar. I don't know how it was. I picture in my mind. They each had a little altar. Cain comes in and he lays down the fruit of the field, the grain. That's kind of all that it says. He lays down some of his grain. Abel comes in. I told you wrong. I said Abel had sheep. Abel comes in and he takes the firstling of his flock, the very best, and he lays that sheep on that altar. So now we have these two sacrifices. And I don't know, was this during the sacrifice? Was it after the sacrifice? But somewhere along the way, God was delighted with Abel's offering because he gave the best. See, it was in here. But when it came to Cain's offering, God was not delighted. He was against his offering. He told me, if you do good, I would accept it. But he chose to do his own thing. Now Abel has to make a choice. What am I going to do with this? My brother, his sacrifice was accepted. Mine was not. So Cain chose the route of jealousy. He chose the route of offense. And out of this, he became angry. We don't have all this written down, but we kind of fill in the blanks. Out of this anger, there must have been some kind of bitterness against his brother. Because one day he said, go out to the field with me. They went out to the field and he killed him. His jealousy, his anger, his offense ended in what? Death. Let's look at another story. In Acts, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were together. And one day Paul tells Barnabas, you know what, let's go out and let's go back to those places where we preach. I'd like for us to go back. Let's see how they're doing. Let's check in with those that we preach to. And Barnabas says, yeah, I like that. Let's go. But he said, I want to take John Mark with me. And Paul said, no, I don't want to take John Mark along. When we were in Pamphylia, I think it was, he says, John Mark didn't finish what we gave him. He left. We're not taking him. Barnabas wanted to take him, so they came head to head. It actually says the contention was very sharp between them. So instead of staying there and being head to head, Paul said, okay, I'll take Silas with me. Barnabas says, I'm going to take John Mark. And they went different directions. They were both able to minister. We find out later on that there was peace made between them. Now, they could have stayed there and they could have kept on bumping heads and fighting, but they didn't. They went about their duty. Sometimes there are places where we have to continue. Even though there are differences, we have to continue our walk with Christ and continue to minister. This is what Paul and Barnabas chose to do. Instead of anger and bitterness tearing them apart and keeping them apart, somewhere along the way there was forgiveness. So we have offense. It's going to happen. How can I overcome this? I wish I could give you just a real, real easy answer, but there's a whole bunch of different ways that offense can happen. So we're just going to touch on a few things. And if you read that book, it'll give you a lot of challenges in how to deal with different ways. Colossians 3 verse 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So the first thing that we have to do, there's a lot of choices we have to make, but the first thing we have to do is to choose forgiveness, to make restitution. Maybe even before that is to acknowledge that I have hurt somebody or somebody has hurt me. It's okay to acknowledge that. We need to. But we need to forgive. Doesn't matter, on which side that we're at, we need to forgive. Is forgiveness easy? No. Is going and asking somebody for forgiveness? No, not at all. But it is necessary. Guess what it'll do? That prison, that cell that you step in, you slam that door behind you, all of a sudden that door opens up. You're now free to step outside. You have freedom because forgiveness has taken care of that. It gives you peace. Forgiveness is a choice. There's another choice that we have to make. We choose kindness over anger and over retaliation. It's within me when something like that happens, and I would guess probably within you too. I want to get back. I want to show them. They hurt my feelings, and I'm going to do all I can to do something. They don't even need to know it was me, but somehow I'm going to get them. That's retaliation. 1 Peter 3:8. Actually, 1 Corinthians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. That which good is love and forgiveness. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Be compassionate, be loving, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called that ye should inherit a blessing. I want you to try something. The next time you realize that there's something that came between you and a brother or a sister, pray for them. Pray for them and ask God to bless them. Whether God's going to change that person or not, I'm not sure, but He will change your heart. Ask God to bless them. Proverbs 19:11 says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." I want to break that verse down just a little bit. The discretion, the word discretion has the idea of wisdom. So the wisdom of a man, he's just talking about humanity, deferreth his anger. The idea of deferreth means to draw out, lengthen. In other words, he doesn't become angry quickly. So the wisdom of humanity, a man, keeps him from getting angry quickly. And it is his glory. The word glory is honor. It's his honor to pass over. That means to maybe overlook or at least not make such a big deal out of it. It is his honor to overlook a transgression. The transgression is an offense or revolt against him. So let's read that verse the way that I've explained it here. The wisdom of a person keeps him from getting angry quickly, and it's an honor to him to overlook an offense. All of us, when we're offended, there's something that changes within us. We either become stronger or we become bitter. Again, we choose. If I want to become stronger, I'm going to do what we've been talking about. I'm going to choose to love. I'm going to choose to forgive and let it go. If I hang on to it, I'm going to become bitter. And friends, when bitterness steps in and takes root, it's another step that we don't want to go to. There is a way. This way is the way of the cross. Jesus, when he was being persecuted, when he was being whipped, Jesus could have become bitter, but he didn't. Psalm 139, verse 23, David speaking here. And I call this verse spiritual X-ray. Listen as David talks here. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. God, would you X-ray my heart? Show me what's in it. Maybe there's some things there that I know I shouldn't, don't want to see." But David said, "God, show me. Show me what's in my heart. X-ray my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Now I want you to X-ray my thoughts. What's coming out of my thinking, and it shows up in my speech and my actions. "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and then I want you to lead me in the way everlasting." I challenge you to take that verse. Get before the Lord. Pray that verse to Him. And surrender that to Him and allow Him to show you what's within you. I find for myself, when that happens, there's normally repentance that has to take place. It's a good thing. Paul said in Acts 24, as he was before Felix, he said, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." I don't know about you, but I came to a place in my life where I was offended with God. It made me angry. God knows best. But because of my humanity, because of my selfishness and my sinfulness, I didn't like what God did. And it frustrated me. But I thank God that He did not just step back and say, "Okay, then, Lynn, be that way. Let's see what happens." He didn't. He loved me through it. That's what He wants to do with all of us. He wants to love us through our difficulties. I want to read a couple of verses here that just really were a blessing to me. Psalm 119, 165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law." This is an Old Testament verse. He's talking about the Mosaic law here. "I have put in truth. Great peace have they which love thy truth," which is the new law that we've been given, loving. "And nothing shall offend them." So if I love Him and I love His Word and I love what He does within us, the relationship we have, nothing should offend me. But it's something we have to continue to work on. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Isaiah 32:17, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." And then I love reading through the Sermon on the Mount, seeing how Jesus is talking to the disciples and to the crowds, and He's telling them, "This is how it used to be, this is how I want you to be now." He says, "But I say unto you," just before this, if I remember correctly, I should have wrote it down here, but I believe He was talking about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Anyhow, here He says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you." I don't know if anybody has ever done that to you. It is really hard to bless somebody like that. But He says here, "Bless those. Bless those that are against you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." If you're following along, Harold's been talking a lot about Ananias' house. If you're following along a little bit, what's been happening with the believers over there and how they are facing some of the difficulties that they're facing, praying for those who persecute them. We don't have that here. Not in that sense. Doesn't mean we couldn't have. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. So I talk a little bit about if offense isn't dealt with, it turns into bitterness. When this happens within the family, families are destroyed. When it happens within the church is destroyed. It will not lay silent when there is bitterness. It will slowly continue to wreak havoc. How many of you know what mistletoe is? It's not Christmas time, but we know what mistletoe is. We hang it up, and supposedly if your husband or wife walk underneath there, that's where you're supposed to kiss. Mistletoe is good for some medicinal reasons. Down in Texas, we had mistletoe that grew in our trees. Mistletoe is just a little bunch of green growth. The tree can look like it's pretty well dead for the winter, but mistletoe is still green. We look at mistletoe as what a sweet, romantic plant. Did you know that mistletoe is actually a parasite? Mistletoe will grow on the side of that tree or on a branch, and it has roots that will go down into that tree. We can take snippers, and we can go up to the side of that tree, and we can snip that mistletoe right off, and it looks pretty good. Guess what happens? It's still growing. It's going to come back. There's a specific kind of mistletoe called the dwarf mistletoe. If left to itself, it is just like bitterness in the heart of us. Unless it is dealt with, it will take the moisture from that tree. It sucks the life right out of it. And eventually that branch is going to die. And if left unchecked, it can actually kill the whole tree. How do we deal with mistletoe? You cut it off. And then you go into the tree. And there's pain involved. You have to chop into the side of the tree and get that root out. And as the tree grows back over that, it suffocates that. And it's dead. I want to talk to you a little bit about counsel this morning. When there is bitterness deep within us, there's a root that's there. I want to encourage you this morning. If there is bitterness in your life and you know about it, seek counsel. We have different places locally here. They want to work with you. They would love to sit and help you understand where did this come from. Let's go back and find that root and let's pray over it. Harold knows about it. Kimberly knows about it. They would love to help you. We love to sit with you and pray with you here. But sometimes there are some things that are deep. Those that have training that understand how to go back. Let's find out what happened, what caused this. And we can take that root of bitterness with the help of the Holy Spirit. And it can be removed and there can be peace. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." So yes, bitterness is a lot like, or mistletoe is a lot like bitterness. It will eventually destroy. I want to read again the verses that Ethan read here at the beginning. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." No, forgiveness isn't easy. Dealing with offenses isn't easy, but it is really important that we do take this seriously. I want to read something from Dr. K. N. Jacob that I came across. Now, this is talking about love. Love is not a feeling, he says. That's the title here. Love is not a feeling, but love produces feelings. You don't fall in love, you choose to love. Love is a decision, a covenant of hearts. Feelings fade and shift, but true love stands firm. Love is a daily commitment, supporting despite the cost, forgiving even when it hurts. Offense is inevitable, but love does not keep score. It wipes the slate clean and chooses grace over grudges. Love is patient when tempers flare, and kind when words could wound. It doesn't shout or shame. Love listens with respect, speaks with tenderness, acts with humility. Love holds back anger and reaches out in peace. Love never gives up. It trusts, hopes, and fights for the bond through every storm. Love stays when it's hard, believes when it's bleak, and keeps building when life feels broken. True love is resilient and relentless. This morning, as I was sitting back here in the pastor's study, just seeking God, and I had to think about how sometimes our lives, we hit a rough spot. And it seems like just nothing is straight anymore. It's all just every which way. And I looked out the window, and I saw a pine tree on the other side of the road. I don't know what happened to that pine tree, but it's leaning. If you get a chance, look at it. It's really leaning towards the east. But when you look up at the top at the new growth, it's headed upwards. Life isn't always straight for us. We face a lot of difficulties. But just like this tree out here, when we stay focused and we look at Christ and we continue that direction, there's still growth. God isn't done with any of us here yet today. He wants to continue to work in our hearts and our lives and continue to help us produce fruit for His kingdom. May God bless you. Thank you for listening this morning. Would you stand? I'm going to pray. Jay, if you would lead us. Is Jay in here? Yes. Would you lead us in number 330 in the black book after prayer, please? Let's pray. God, this morning we are so grateful. So grateful that You have chosen to send Your Son. Lord, that we don't have to live in offense, even though we face it. Even though we slip and fall. You're there with open arms. You're there to receive us back and to help us take the next step. Lord, we do need Your help. We do fall. Thank You for being gracious with us. Father, I pray for each one of us here this morning. God, You know what our week looks like. We don't yet. But we're asking that You would be here with us. And Lord, as we seek You, that we could sense Your presence here with us. We love You. And I just pray, Lord, that You would just continue to guide us. We commit each person here to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.